Okay, friends, and we spent the last couple of days, you know, trying to develop some basic mindfulness and concentration on the breathing body. We've been cultivating some basic reflections on the nature of life and death, and contemplating this the physical body and its nature of, you know, impermanence, decay, and you know, we'll die. Now we want to try to focus our mind more closely now into the internal process of birth and death, and cultivating the perception of impermanence. Now, the most powerful tools in the Buddha's arsenal against ignorance, against fear and ignorance, is the perception of impermanence. As I chanted at the end of meditation, all conditioned things are impermanent. When one sees this with the eye of wisdom, this is the path. One becomes disenchanted with suffering, this is the path to freedom. And the eye of wisdom means the meditative eye, not just intellectually reading about it, but directly perceiving it as it's occurring, moment by moment, throughout the body and mind. And, you know, the progress in meditation, and, you know, the Buddha explains this, the process of Vipassana meditation, basically the cultivation of this wisdom is done through the practice of Vipassana. That means seeing reality as it is. And what is reality as it is? That means everything is constantly changing, moment by moment, these five aggregates. So we've already kind of talked about the five aggregates a bit. And in one of the first days, we tried to, you know, kind of observe them a bit, but perhaps your concentration, mindfulness wasn't yet enough strong to really clearly see them. And maybe it isn't even enough yet. But however, we want to try to come back to that theme and redirect our attention, because it's there. The perception of impermanence roots out ignorance. There's a beautiful little saying by the Buddha, like you have a plowshare, there's a plow. You know, in the old days, the farmers have this big wooden plow with, you know, things like that, and pulling by the bulls, and they rip through the field, tearing up all the old roots and plowing up the ground. And it's a simile that the perception of impermanence works like that, to plow up and rip up all the delusions in the mind, especially the delusions of impermanence and also of self. And the perception of impermanence leads to the dissolution of the barriers of the ego, to the dissolution of the ego consciousness. So it's a, you know, it's a very powerful meditation, but it's one of the most powerful ones, especially for overcoming the fear of death and preparing one's mind for death. And especially knowing that the sense of I and the ego is an illusion. But it's that I that the mind clings on to at the time of death. No, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. With the fear, where am I going? And so the real preparation for death is seeing that actually the eye is an illusion, and to train oneself to be able to let it go, as well as all of its objects of the clinging, which are the aggregates, the body and the mind. So, you know, the process of meditation is we, you know, use the breathing, the breath is used as a way to bring the mind from the external world to center it into the body. You know, like you're breathing in, so the, you know, you're breathing the air from the external world, and it's, you know, touching the nostrils and going into the lungs. And so that's how it, you know, it brings the mind from the external world into the internal world. And you use the breathing, you know, the breathing acts as a tethering post. And it helps to establish a level of concentration and tranquility. But then, as somebody mentioned yesterday, you know, my breath seemed to disappear. What should I do next? A lot of people have asked that question. They've been practicing mindfulness of breathing for a long, long time, and you know, they always ask, well, you know, what's next? What's next is tuning in to the flow of impermanence. Because if the breath disappears, or even if it's still there, one can still open up and notice the impermanence and sensations that are coming and going in and around and through the breathing. So ideally in the meditation practice, but especially for body-based mindfulness and developing the Vipassana meditation, feeling the breathing kind of in the middle part of the body, the movements of the abdomen or the rib cage or the chest, that will help keep you centered more in the kind of the center of the body, where everything is, you know, everything is occurring around that. Sensations in your toes, sensations in your head, sensations in your right arm, sensations in your left arm, and everywhere in between. So if the awareness is kind of centered in the middle, you're not far from any of those. And so, you know, the mind gradually opens up. So you use tranquility or awareness of breathing to kind of, you know, get the mind more focused, but instead of getting trapped in that and too much quiet, you begin to then open up, gradually open up. But that breathing is still there in the center, but around it, the awareness is opening up and feeling different sensations arising and vanishing. And first you focus on the impermanence of the body, because that helps you to feel subtler and subtler types of vibrations that are coming and going in the body. And so it draws the mind deeper into a deeper level of awareness. And then you also, at the same time, you'll be able to hear sounds also. And you kind of open up, and even sounds will arise and vanish. And as you can see, you know, the subtler sensations in the body, you'll be able to see your thoughts more easy. The first arising of thoughts as they're trying to sneak up in the mind, that awareness will be aware of them and knock all the wind out of them, and they vanish, because you have that awareness deeply grounded. The reason why you get lost in your thoughts is because you don't see your thoughts coming. So you're trying to watch the breath or whatever, you're half drowsy, and thoughts come in like that thief, and you know, they put a cloud over your head, and you know, you lost in thought for several minutes or more. Because we don't see the thoughts coming. So when you develop body-based awareness, because thoughts are arising at the cellular level, we like to call the cellular vibration level. That's where our thoughts are germinating from, the unconscious mind, and they emerge from the unconscious mind and gradually percolate up through the levels of the nervous system to where you finally sort of cognize them. But if your mind is half drowsy, or it's lost in thoughts, or it's you're not gonna to see those other thoughts arising. So you gotta bring your attention down to that level, sort of the cellular vibration level, which means being able to feel the subtle vibrations of the body, sort of the life force of the body. To awaken, what's called awaken the life force of the body. And tune in to the living process. Because when the awareness is calm and relaxed enough, it can be aware of many, 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 many things occurring at the same time. And you don't have to look for them. They just appear in the mirror of awareness. And so you gradually tune into that. It's called tuning in to the flow of impermanence. And so it sort of starts like, you know, you're aware of an in-breath arises and vanishes. And an out-breath arises and vanishes. So you use the breathing as a training to notice arising and vanishing. So the in-breath, it starts, that's its arising, it lasts for a second or two, and it stops. That's the vanishing. So you specifically tune into that, because that sharpens the mind like sharpening a knife on a sharpening stone. Sharpens the awareness, razor sharp. You can see that moment the in-breath starts, the moment it stops, and even the changes in between, what I call the beginning, the middle, and the end of the in-breath, the beginning, the middle, and the end of the out-breath. And it's easier to notice that if you're focusing on the sensations of expanding and contracting, more the sensation here, because this is very subtle and it's kind of very vague. But you know, if you can do that with focus here, then that's also all right. So you tune in, you use the breathing as a training to impermanence, but then in between you'll notice a itch here. It'll just appear, you don't have to look for it. While you're aware of the breathing, it'll just sort of appear like a flash, and last a second or two and vanish. Then you might notice something else, and then another in-breath, and an out-breath, and maybe a body jerk arise and vanish, then another in-breath arise and vanish. Another little itch arise and vanish, and an out-breath arise and vanish, and a thought try to sneak in your mind, my mother, arise and vanish. And you notice that quickly it vanishes. And then you're open to the next thing, the next in-breath or the out-breath, another sensation. And then even sounds, arose and vanished. No, those are all good, because it sharpens the mind. And you see the mind's reaction, and then a reaction arrives and vanishes. Sorry if I scared you. Sometimes sound effects are good. Wake us up, right? So that's called a tuning into the flow of impermanence. And it gradually builds up momentum. But it also depends on how relaxed you are. And that's why you begin the meditation period with initially trying to get relaxed into the posture by working with the breathing for several minutes or longer. And then when the mind is ready and you naturally start noticing things, you can, but the breathing is always there, kept there kind of in the middle, in the background. It's something to always fall back onto. And if there's nothing particular coming and going, you can always fall back on the breathing. But if you can't feel the breathing, then again, as I mentioned yesterday, just feel the posture itself. Some touch points in the posture that you can notice, like the buttocks, the hands. And sometimes the feeling of the body may disappear. And if the breathing and the body both disappear, don't get scared. That's okay. Actually, that's great. Because if the feeling of the body disappears, all the pains with it also disappear. And that's actually a good preparation for death. But a lot of people get afraid at that point, because they're afraid they're kind of losing it and so on, or afraid they feel like they're going to get sucked down a black hole or something. But don't be afraid about any of those things. This is the preparation of death, because this is what happens at death, the time of death. But whether your mind is ready to, at that point where you can appreciate, experience and appreciate that, that's to be seen, but some people may be. So that's how we want to gradually start, you know, training the awareness, because, you know, that's the single most powerful tool for the preparation of death, and being able to let go of our images and thoughts and everything that are rushing up from the mind at the time of death. And so each of those arising and vanishing is actually a birth and a death. Each moment of hearing, seeing, tasting, smelling, touching, and thinking is like a birth and a death. The five aggregates arise in a moment and vanish. A moment of hearing, and then a moment of thinking about the sound might arise and vanish. And then you feel something itch, and then a moment of feeling an itch arises and vanishes. And then a moment of feeling the in-breath, you know, arise and vanish. And something stronger will come by, and you'll notice that. And then an out-breath. But you just remained open. You don't have to really concentrate. The mind is already concentrated. You use an object, initially you use an object to concentrate on, because your mind is scattered. You know, it's getting pulled by the hindrances, sleepy, distracted by pain, lost in the thoughts. So you cultivate a specific object, you know, to focus on in order to get the mind steady. And so it becomes very bright and overcomes its sleepiness. But once it gets concentrated in the present moment, the object itself is not that important anymore, because the mind is already, it's concentrated. And it has returned to its natural state of being at one and grounded in the body. And then opening up to the flow of impermanence. And actually, the more things that you can notice arising and vanishing, actually the better. In Vipassana meditation, the more things that you can notice arising and vanishing, the less time your mind has to get stuck on any particular thing. The reason our mind gets stuck on certain objects, stuck on our pain, stuck on our thoughts, stuck on just the sleepiness, is because it's dull, and it hasn't, it's not bright enough. And the objects seem to last in the mind and get recreated. And so the mind gets stuck on them. But in the perception of impermanence, actually, you want to gradually speed up the rate of perception, so that the mind doesn't have anything to cling on to, because there's always something else coming. So the mind drops that thing and notices something over here. Then it drops that, it notices something over here. It drops that, it notices something here. It drops that, it notices a sound. It drops that, it notices a thought. It drops that, it notices another in-breath. It drops that, it notices something over here. It drops that, it notices an out-breath. It drops that, it notices something on your toe. And so on. So that's the way, you know, it's called non-directed open awareness. But again, you have to have developed a certain level of concentration and centeredness. Otherwise, you can get kind of a little bit overwhelmed by the amount of things coming through. But that's what's going to happen at the time of death if you're not drugged. And to remain fully alert and aware at the time of death, you can actually observe the death process, but without clinging to it, the mind gets liberated. At the time of death, when all these objects, your or you're drugged and you don't have awareness, or you're you know, caught up in so much pain, or you haven't trained yourself, then the mind will be caught and stuck on whatever sort of visions are coming. So this is the real training for death, is this kind of tuning into the flow of impermanence. So we're going to kind of try to lead you through that, at least to, you know, the basic mindfulness and opening up to that flow of impermanence. And then you can also apply that also to standing and walking, because that flow of impermanence is happening, you know, all the time in every posture. And even to body movements, movements of your body. The body is a very excellent thing to train, to keep the training of impermanence going. Like when they're walking, the foot lifts up, that's arising and vanishing. The lifting arises and vanishes. The swinging forward of the lower leg arises and vanishes. That means begins and ends. The lowering of the foot to touch the heel begins and ends. The pressing of the ball of the feet and toes begins and ends. The shifting of the body going forward begins and ends. And the next foot lifting up begins and ends. And while you're doing that, a sound arises and vanishes. And a thought arises and vanishes. And other sensations on the body arise and vanish. But the movements of walking just replace, let's say, the breathing. So in sitting meditation, the breathing might be the sort of constant backdrop. But around that, things are arising and vanishing. But in walking meditation or other movements, the movements of the foot is your sort of primary focus, but around it also, you're keeping the mind open enough to notice anything else arising and vanishing. So that you can also see the conditioning, you can see the domino effect of what happens when you hear a sound and it jerks the body, and then it causes the mind to go, whoa, you know, just a very, you know, fast chain reaction gets set off. And to observe that is a deep level of insight. I want you to go up and go ahead and stand up now for a few minutes just to stretch your legs. Just one note about the hands. You know, people keep their hands in different ways. But to help alertness and to help to keep the body straight, it's a good practice to try to keep the hands not resting on your legs. When you let the hands rest on your legs, even though it might be more comfortable, gravity will push the hands into the feet. And also, the weight of the arms will cause the shoulders to come forward slightly and cause the whole body to kind of, the chin to go down, kind of slouch. But when you lift the hands up so that they're kind of pressing the abdomen about 2 inches below your navel, just at least maybe 1 inch off of your legs. And there's a little kind of rule of thumb, oh, that's a pun, for the hands. You put the, you know, there's one hand here that the lower hand touch the fingers to the knuckles of the hand above it, and then let the tips of the thumbs lightly touch so the thumbs form like the shape of an egg, and have it lightly pressing the abdomen just below your navel. And so It takes a little effort to do that, but that effort will be the effort of mindfulness. It will keep you awake and alert. And also it keeps the shoulders back a little bit, because that weight of the arms is not pulling the shoulders down so much. You're holding it up. So it helps the shoulders to remain back, so the upper chest is open, so the breath can be more, come in more naturally and deeper. And also to help you to sit more straight. So just try to adjust the posture. First of all, just feel the buttocks and the feet pressing the floor. Feel the way the legs are bent underneath. Feel the hands touching. Feel the natural inward curve of the lower spine. Just be aware how that inward curve of the lower spine supports the weight of the upper body, preventing the gravity from pulling you down. Then lightly kind of lift the spinal column upwards, like stacking blocks, one on top of the other, ending up with the head on top, just leveling the chin, just imagine a stick placed on the back, touching the hip girdle, or the base of the spine, the middle of the shoulder blades, and the back of the head. And try to find the center of gravity of the head and spine over the hips, you know, that tipping point where the body could either tip forwards or backwards. And try to maintain that posture, but relax. Relax the face muscles. Relax the jaws. Relax your eyes. Just mentally feel the sitting body, sitting, just hold that feeling in the sitting body in the mind's eye, not as a visual image, but just as a collection of sensations. Feelings of your feet, arms, chest, head, all giving the idea of the sitting body. And let the awareness kind of settle into the middle of the body and pick up on the expanding and contracting sensations of the abdomen, the stomach, the ribcage. Might feel where the clothing rubs against the abdomen, stomach, or ribcage, producing friction, sensation. It's a good focus point keep the mind alert. Just knowing when you're breathing in, and knowing when the breath is going out. And knowing is the alertness. It's like looking through a magnifying glass, turning up the power of the microscope, starting to tune in to the finer details. Expanding and contracting. See if you can notice the beginning, the middle, and the end, the expanding. In breath, the brief pause, the beginning, the middle, and end, the contracting out the breath, and the brief pause. That brief pause between the breaths, just feel the silent vibration of the body. So checking and correcting the posture. If it helps you, you can use the mental notes in sitting. Out sitting. Or just the silent knowing of it.